So, you begin as a whole thing, as a child. In the social work, you are a part thing. Then the part of the last stage is to become a whole thing again. Adult education or something like that, that keeps the sensibilities going while you're working on the intellect. Jung sees the psyche as dominated by what he calls four functions. You can base your life on evaluating things as to how they feel, and then you will have a wonderfully differentiated and developed sensibility. Your appreciation of the arts and of the nuances and richnesses of life will be great. Or you can judge things in terms of intellectual decisions, right and wrong, propitious, unpropitious, prudent, imprudent, all that kind of thing. If you make your decisions on this basis, this is not being developed. If you make your decisions on this basis, this is not being developed. It was Jung's experience in his dealing with people that in our culture, now this may or may not be basic for all people, but in our culture, men have developed the thinking function. The society requires it of them, and women, the feeling function. Inferior thinking is opinion. Women, they say, you can't argue with a woman. You can't argue with a woman who is primarily developed in terms of feeling functions, because her decisions do not come from logical connections. And she may have a whole system of opinions that are based on not having thought anything through. Now, as for feeling, inferior feeling is sentimentalism. I think the rest of us know what that means. If a young man had any idea about the maturity and reality and realism of the feeling that was sitting across the table from him while he's being a slob, he would be completely surprised. Now, it's the dialogue between these two functions that educates, so to say. Next point. The inferior function is in the unconscious, and it comes up compulsively, can't be argued with. The sentiments of a cruel man, a man who leads his life sheerly as a scientist, let us say, without any thought of feelings. He is a undeveloped thing in his sentiment side. And when he does come forth with sentiment, the kind of music he likes and so forth, it's thin, it's trite, it's no good at all. So these two are sides that have to be developed. One will be inferior, the other superior. And they're not related to the sex power either. This is another matter. Then the latter, the next two, there are two ways of having the experience. One, what Jung calls sensation, which is not feeling, and the other, intuition, which is not feeling either. Here we are, sitting in the room. Sight, sounds, smells, tastes, and so forth. What is here in the room with us comes to our sensation. That is related to space. A student comes in the room. You try to know what the capacities of that student are, why that student came into the room, what the direction in time is. This is intuition. Intuition is tact for time, the sense of the possible. It is the primary political talent. One will be superior and the other inferior. If you're always living in terms of the potentialities of things, you're not living in terms of the actualities, and vice versa. And the opposite will threaten you. So for Jung, these have superior and inferior functions. Now, we're going to face society. Society has a number of roles for us to play. These roles are added to us. Society imprints them on us, gives us their ideals, a wardrobe. Jung calls these personae, or persona, the mask. That is a Latin word for the mask worn by an actor on the stage, a teacher, the teacher mask. Suppose I go home and think I'm still a teacher. The mask has to be left in the wardrobe, in the green room. You've got to know what stage you're on. Now, this is a slightly different definition of ego, but it is related to the other. Ego is your notion of yourself, your notion of your center, it's above the consciousness line normally. Now suppose you're driving a car over here. You're on the left side and the wheel is there. And you don't know that there's another side over there. You think this is the middle. This is the way most people drive their lives, according to Jung. They think their ego knows who they are, and they go driving that way. So things are dropping off here and knocking people down here and getting injured. How are you going to get over there? Do you put another wheel up and have a friend driving? Do you put the wheel in the middle? No. You have to know what's there and be able to sight, use the parallax principle. Just the opposite to the self is what Jung calls the shadow. That's the you that you don't know you are, but that your friends see, and that's why some people don't like you. The shadow is in your unconscious and is that aspect of yourself which you don't know about. The ego tends to identify itself with society. It tends to forget this shadow. It doesn't know where the middle is. This is the position society puts us in. Society doesn't give a darn whether you crack up when it's through with you. It's your job. Every man has to be a manly man. And all of the things that society doesn't allow him to develop, he attributes to the feminine side. That is down in his unconscious, what Jung calls the anima, the female ideal in the male, in his unconscious. Likewise, vice versa for the woman. In her unconscious is the inferior male in herself. This tends to be projected outside. This is what is called falling in love, usually, projecting your own ideal for the woman on some person who had a magnetic little pull in there that pulled that anima out. And then people marry, and then the real Susie begins to show through, and it's a shock. So a lot of little boys just withdraw their anima again, get a divorce, and wait for another receptive screen. Pitch the thing again, and oh, another shock, and so forth. The idea, says Dr. Jung, is, and now we're going to finish this story, to get rid of all these darn projections, not to identify the women you meet with your anima projection, not to identify yourself with your persona projection, to cut off all those ideals, release them. An individual who identifies himself with his persona, Jung calls a mana personality. It's what we call a stuffed shirt. It's a person who is nothing but the role he plays. And when a person is of that sort, his actual character does not develop. He remains simply a mask. And as his powers fail, as he makes mistakes and so forth, he becomes more and more frightened of himself, puts on more and more of an effort, and the separation takes place. Further and further does the shadow retreat in the abyss. Now, the problem of integration for Jung is to cut these things loose. When you realize that persona involves moral ideals, the moral life that you are supposed to be committed to, you realize the depth and threat of this psychology. You are to put your morals on and take them off according to propriety, to the propriety of the moment, and not identify them with cosmic, eternal moments. This means that the laws of society are mores, not eternal laws. And they are to be handled and judged in terms of their propriety to what they're intended to do. The individual makes his own judgment as to how he acts. Then he has to look out to be sure that the guardians of the social order do not misunderstand or make things difficult for him because he is not playing their game totally. But the main problem in this integration thing is to find these relationships to the world outside and to live a rich life in full play.
You have been listening to Society and Symbol, the third talk in the series entitled Man and Myth. This recording was authorized by the Joseph Campbell Foundation and produced by Electronic Educational Programs. Our theme music is by Acoustic Alchemy. For more information about the works of Joseph Campbell, please call the Foundation at 1-800-330-MYTH, 1-800-330-MYTH. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at jcf.org. I'm Maura Vaughan. Thank you for listening.